This message was recorded at the Redeemed Christian Church of God Salvation Center, where we're maximizing potential and fulfilling destiny. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to the following message.
Heavenly Father, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, we thank you this morning because you have been a good God to us. You have been kind to us. You have been faithful in our lives. And there is no doubt that you alone are God, and besides you, there is none else. Lord, as we look into your word of life this morning, Jehovah, I ask, oh God, that you will speak to us. We don't want to be entertained, but we want to hear from the Lord. That is, speak to every heart in Jesus' mighty name. And at the end of it all, let your name be lifted up. Let your name be glorified in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I thank God for that poem, and I requested that she reads that poem before I come up, because there's a lie that we have all bought into in America. Believe me, some of us may know this already, some of us may not, but in America today, the holidays are one of the most depressing times of the year. Let me read something. This didn't refresh. Well, anyway, I stumbled on something online, and I copied and pasted, but I guess I'm still technologically challenged. it's not showing up. It's supposed to be here, but it's not there. But it was a survey that was done, and 45% of the people that responded to that survey responded that the holidays make them anxious. And many said that it makes them depressed, you know, because November, December, towards the end of the year like that, you know, you have the Thanksgiving holiday, and then you have Christmas, and then the New Year. It's a lot of festivities going on, but a lot of people miss out on that. And the question I ask myself is, why? Why is that? You know, the reasons are not too far-fetched. For some, there's a number of reasons. For some, it's hope that has been dashed. You had certain expectation at the beginning of the year. You were hoping that certain things will happen. And many have been disappointed, and the year is really, you know, coming to an end, and you don't see any exciting thing happening. And you're disappointed, and it brings some people into depression, you know, because you had hoped that this year, by this year, you should be married, because there was somebody that was moving in very close, or maybe you even introduced the individual to family, but somewhere along the line, they just said, you know what, I'm no longer interested, you know, and for some others, they will be disappointed because of gift. You know, last year, I think it was the media department that interviewed some of our children. Said, what is Christmas to you? You know, it's an opening present. You know, so people make a list. You know, mom, you're going to get me this. Dad, you're going to get me that. Or you are hoping your spouse will get you something. You know, and because they don't get it, you are disappointed. You are so upset that it's pushing you over the edge. Praise the Lord. The second reason that some people fall into depression, and this is one of the most common from the survey that I saw, is the end of the year, the holidays, remind a lot of people about loved ones that are no longer with them. You know, and some amongst us, your spouse is still over in Africa, you are still believing God for that spouse to come to America to be with you. You know, so it's a very lonely time, even though you may be in the midst of a lot of people. You know, is that what? Cold. Don't worry, he's coming. I will see him in Nigeria. I will shake him. I will hug him. And when I come back, I will shake you and I will hug you and it will transfer to you. You know, so for many people, you know, it's a time that reminds them of what used to be and isn't anymore. You know, perhaps you're divorced. The husband left or the wife left or whatever has happened. You know, so at the end of the year like this, when you're supposed to be planning together, having fun together, doing stuff together, you know, even though you have other people you're doing stuff with, but it cannot take the place of that cherished one, of that loved one. You know, so that leads some people, you know, even to the edge of depression. Amen. And because the holidays have been so commercialized, you know, it's interesting that my wife mentioned it earlier on. You know, I think it's a new thing going on now. You know, practically all the messages I got for Thanksgiving were flyers. You know, picture of something, and then there's an inscription. It wasn't all turkeys, but it was a lot of turkeys. I'm like, what's up with this turkey thing? You know, it's called Turkey Holiday. And I remember, I think it was a Bible study that I was saying that it's important that we remember the reason for the season. You know, turkey is not the reason for the season. You know, I can go into a little bit of medical details about turkey from what I've read, you know, but that wouldn't be very important right now. You know, so turkey is not the reason for the season, and gift exchange is not the reason for the season either. You know, even though God showed us gave us a perfect example in giving us Jesus, right? The greatest gift of all. You know, so it's a good thing for us to exchange gifts, but it's very important for us not to lose sight of what the season is all about. I'm sure you know this. Every year, after Thanksgiving, the Friday after Thanksgiving is what? Black. Have you ever thought, why is it black? Why should it be called Black Friday? Even if you go out at night, you know, silent night, holy, and it's all night lights that we are seeing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Why would it be called Black Friday? You know, it's just ridiculous. You have just celebrated giving thanks and glorifying whomever, thanking whomever you're thanking. We thank God. We thank Jesus, you know, for our lives. But having done all of that, how is it that you resort to Black Friday? And do you know every year, every Black Friday, people die? This past Black Friday, I heard there were 3 shootings. I was reading on the internet. 3 shootings and people dead. Many injured. If I was this, something like that. Many people injured. You know, so when you think about all of these things, then you say, little wonder people are depressed. But you will not be depressed. I say you will not be depressed. In the name of Jesus. Our memory verse for the month of November is Psalm 103 and verse 2. Psalm 103 and the second verse. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. You know, so what that is suggesting, let me start from the rear. It's talking about all his benefits, benefit plural. It's saying there's a tendency for me to forget. He said, but don't forget, because God has done many good things in your life. You know, it is not uncommon when you are going through a rough patch, when you're going through a difficult moment, when you're going through something that is unpleasant, all you can see is what is before you. But it does not mean some things that are good are not happening beyond and around that one thing that you're focused on. Amen. So this morning, the Lord gave me a message for some people, you know, that this season, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord this season. And I'm going to tell you 2 things that you must do. If you do these 2 things, you will always bless the Lord. It will not be difficult or impossible or a chore for you to bless the Lord. You know, and when you think about it, it says bless the Lord. Think about bless. How do we use the word bless? I did it so that you can say that. You know, and then it's almost a greeting. How are you? God bless you. You know, so when you say God bless an individual, that's a prayer. You are praying for them. So when we say bless the Lord, are we praying for God, for him to have more power? You know, well, the word there is Barak. And the word Barak, you know, Barak like Barack Obama. The word Barak simply means an act of adoration. It's an act of adoration. He's saying, adore the Lord, worship the Lord, praise the Lord, thank the Lord, appreciate him for all his benefits. You know, and he says, bless the Lord, oh my soul. He's giving a command to his soul to bless him. Is this thing not working? He's giving a command to his soul to bless the Lord. And he's saying, soul, it is important for you. Do not forget God has been good. Do not forget. Do not forget. Because there's a tendency for you to forget. There's a tendency because of what you are going through in the moment to say, nothing good is happening. Nothing good is happening. I gave you an example a couple of weeks ago. You know, even though Naomi, a lot of terrible things that happened in her life. Her husband died. Her two sons died. She said, I left full. I came back empty. Don't call me pleasant anymore. Call me bitter. Call me Mara. Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. He said, I left full. I came back empty. And Ruth was right there standing next to her. She was saying, I have nobody in my life anymore. But Ruth had just given up everything and went with her. She said, your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. You know, where you die, I will die. Where you live, I will live. What more can a person do for you? And that person that just gave everything up is standing right by you. And you say, there is nobody. You know? So two things. Two things. The first thing is an acronym, JOY. And we know it. You've heard it said before. JOY. There's a song we sang like a nursery rhyme, I believe it was. J-O-Y, J-O-Y, this is what it means. Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. Yeah. Even if you say we are Africans, at least it's a good song. You can sing along. It's a Jesus first, yourself last, others in between. J-O-Y. This is what it means. Praise the Lord. Amen. So the first thing I want you to do is remember this acronym, J-O-Y. The J there is for Jesus. Make Jesus the Alpha and the Omega of your life. Make Jesus the central focus of your life. The Bible says in Revelations 1 and verse 8 and Revelations 22 and verse 13, he says he is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. When all you put before you that you are focused on and gazing on is Jesus, everything else diminishes in the sight of Jesus. Everything. Everything. The problem is Jesus is usually our last resort. Think about it. Think about it. Think about the last time you had a challenge. The first thing that came to your mind is, oh, let me call my boss. Let me call my friend. Let me call whoever is your close confidant. He's the first person you call. Then you call this person, you call that person, you try this, you try that, and everything else has failed. You say, ah, let me pray. Isn't that what we do? That's what we do. Let's be real with ourselves. You need to flip the order of things and put Jesus first. When you put Jesus first in your assessment, in your analysis, in your thinking, in your everything, make Jesus your Alpha. Alpha is the first letter in the Greek alphabet. Alpha, the beginning, the very beginning. And is not only the Alpha, is also the Omega. And guess what? What is in between? He fills everything all in all. He's the beginning, is the end, is the center, is the middle, is everything. Make Jesus your all in all. When you make him your all in all, nothing can steal your joy. If it's everything to you, then it will not be a difficult thing for you to guess what? To praise him. It will not be a difficult for you, to bless his name. It will not be a difficult thing for you to adore him. You know, somebody said something this morning, I believe it was during the workers' meeting, said, lack of thankfulness is a sign of pride. Being thankful is a sign of humility. It means I know that I did not get here by myself. So when I'm saying thank you to the one that I believe enabled me, enhanced me, and made me get to where I am. So I say what? Thank you. And from childhood, we teach our children to say thank you. We teach our children to say thank you. So when you put Jesus first, if he's the Alpha and the Omega, then everything that happens in my life, I can attribute to who? To him. So I can say thank you to him. Number two. Well, it's still number one. Number one A. So number one B. Say others in between. Others in between. In Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Acts chapter 20, verse 35, the Bible says Jesus said that it is more blessed to give than to receive. He says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of our Lord Jesus. How he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Friends, you will find out very quickly if you are a giver, the essence for your life, if you want to have full joy in life is derived from helping others. You know, if you can sit back and say, by the grace of God, I participated in the journey of the life of this person. By the grace of God, I was able to add value to this life. By the grace of God, I was opportuned to be there for this person. You know, I'm going to give you an example, man. Obi's mom came to my house, you know, and came with Obi and was telling me, oh, Pastor, your son. You know, and after they left, I sat down to think about it really. And I was telling my wife when I picked that up, I said, wow, this is true. This is true. We've been through a journey together. And looking at him, I'm so happy that God allowed me to be a part of that journey of his life. And he's going somewhere great. He's finished his first degree. He's in pharmacy school now. He's going to be a pharmaceutical doctor. Is that PharmD? Is that what? Pharmacy doctor? PharmD? What is the farm? What's the full meaning of the farm? Pharmacy. So pharmacy doctor. Okay. Doctor of pharmacy. Thank you. That makes more sense. Doctor of pharmacy. It's going to be a doctor of pharmacy. You know, and I'm just thinking. I remember when they just moved from Miami, Florida. You know, and they were just little boys. Little boys. You know, and the little that God allowed me to the role that God allowed me to play in his life. You know, I hear towards that, oh, Pastor, thank you very much. This, and that, and everything else that he was saying. You know, it is easier. Your life will have more fulfillment when you help others. When you help others. If it is all about you, what you want, your vision, your dream, that's all you are pushing for, that is why people are depressed. It's one of the reasons. Because everything about their life is about them. So when it doesn't happen for them, they have nothing else to hold on to. Praise the Lord. They have absolutely nothing else to hold on to. But you know, sometimes when you are not feeling so good about yourself, when you see other people, you know, like Brother Akinwale, when he came to San Antonio, he was a single man. Just fresh from college. For real. He was fresh from college. Before you talk too much, I'm going to talk your own now. He was fresh from college. But look at him today. A respectable professional. Married with three children. You know, so even when the enemy is trying to attack me sometimes and make me think certain things, when I see this kind of people, my heart is lifted up. I'm saying, Father, you have been good. Lord, invest your life in others. Don't make life all about yourself. It is a recipe for depression. Because if it doesn't happen as you have planned, then you have nothing else to fall back on. He said, Jesus first, others in between. Others in between. Let me give us a few examples from Scripture. Remember the story of Esther. Esther was very comfortable in the palace. And Haman had planned and schemed to destroy the whole nation of Israel. You know, so they sent messages to Esther. They said, Esther, this is what this man has planned. And Esther said to them, she said, there is nobody that appears before the king without an invitation. So if you go before the king without an invitation and the king does not stretch forth a scepter to you, you are dead. But guess what? She said, if I perish, I perish. You know why? Because she has concluded that her life does not just belong to her alone. I tell you the truth, many people are selfish. A lot of people are selfish. Life is all about them. If it does not profit them, if it does not benefit them, they are not getting involved in it. And that is why many people are depressed. That is why many people are sad. That is why many people are not satisfied. Why? Because their life is all about them. You know, I'm going to get all I can, and I'm going to can all I get, and I'm going to sit on the can. Well, if the can is empty, guess what? You might have some lacerations in your bum bum. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Don't just live life for yourself. Don't just live life for yourself. What's his name? Nehemiah. Nehemiah was in the king's palace. But he was so concerned about Jerusalem. When he heard that some people came from Jerusalem, he went to ask them. He said, how is Jerusalem? What is the state of Jerusalem? When they told him about the degradation and how messed up Jerusalem was, the Bible says he went into fasting and praying. Look, his life is good. Nobody is threatening him. Nobody is harassing him. He's having a great time in the palace. And he chose to fast. He chose to seek the face of the Lord. He chose to do something about it. He dared to appear sad before the king. If you know the customs of those days, especially if you are the king's cupbearer, and then you are coming before the king sad, it's like your heart is not clear towards the king. Off with your head. Because the cup is the one that gives him the drink and the food and everything, and they make him taste everything. So if somebody was trying to poison the king, for example, so once he drinks it, he dies. They say, king, don't drink it. Or if it's food, he eats the food and he dies. They say, king cannot eat this one. Something to that effect. But, you know, he was happy doing the job he was doing. There was no threat to his position. Nothing like that. But he begged of the king. He left the comfort of the palace. He left the comfort of the palace to go to Jerusalem to fix the problem. He went to Jerusalem to fix the problem. He was not talking about the problem. Have you noticed that a lot of people like to talk about the problem? Oh, you know what is not going well? I tell people, if you can identify a problem, it just makes you a follower. Followers can identify problems. Leaders prefer solutions. So telling me what the problem is, you have not told me anything new. Everybody knows that what that problem is. Do you understand what I'm saying? If my, let's say my, this thing was like this. It's only a blind person here that will not see it. So that you identify that my collar, my lapel is not sitting right, you have not done anything. Oh, pastor, can I help you? Give you a hand? Fix your lapel? Say, oh, yeah, thank you. Then you have done something different. But most people can only talk about problem. You know, but Nehemiah chose not to talk about the problem. He did something about it. He gave of himself. He appeared before the king. He pleaded with the king, and the king gave him resources to go fix it. Praise the Lord. Do not live for yourself. When you live for self alone, selfishness, self-conceitedness does not really bring joy because it is never enough. Amen? If it's money, you will never have enough of it. Amen. If money was, if it satisfies, the billionaires of this world shouldn't be working anymore. In fact, they shouldn't have any business. They just close down all their business. They have $10 billion in the bank. You can't spend $10 billion in a lifetime. If you do, I don't know what to say about that person. Don't let me be on the pulpit and be cursing people. You can't spend, I don't see anybody spending $10 billion in a lifetime. You know? So put yourself, put others in between. Jesus first and others next. Others next. Others in between. Others in between. I have many more examples here, but I think I'm just going to skip because of our time. And C, one C is yourself. Put yourself last. Listen to this. James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 10. It says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. What does it mean to humble yourself? It means you are not haughty. You are not you are not intimidated by anybody. You know, matter of fact, sometimes you know this thing called pride is a feeling of insecurity. You are so afraid that somebody will. So you are. You don't scare me. Do you understand what I'm saying? Or somebody, their eyes are so whatever. You know, in my place, they say the eye that is like that, it cannot light cigarettes. Make it red, make it anything. You can't do anything. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it sometimes is a sign of insecurity. It's because a person is insecure is the reason they are, you know, you want to prove there's nothing you can prove for anybody. There's nothing you know how to do that nobody has not done before. There's nothing you are good at that there are no others that are better than you. You know, so there's reason, no reason for pride. He said, humble yourself. And he says, when I humble myself, guess what? God himself will lift me up. So what I am struggling for and trying to put others down, you know, some people believe until they step on others, they cannot get to the top. It is a lie. It is a lie. In fact, the sky is so wide, so big, you know, you will never see any bird dropping to the earth because they are colliding with another bird in the air. Even when during winter season, they will be flying from the north to the south now. So many of them, and they are not, nobody is disturbing anybody. You know, they look packed in the air when we are looking from down here, but they give themselves social distance. That's what my wife taught me. She said, oh, social space. I said, what's social space? You know, when you enter Molue in Lagos, there's no social space. Everybody is packed, you know, nothing like that. It's a social space. But, you know, I've been here a few years now, so I know all about social space. So even myself now, I'm doing social space with people. You know, back off. Amen. Amen. Work hard. Listen, work hard, be the best you can, and in due season, God will lift you up. Amen. In the name of Jesus. The second thing, and I'm going to wrap up with this. So the first thing is J-O-Y. Jesus first, others in between, and yourself last. Number two, remember the past goodness. Remember the past goodness. You know, this Thanksgiving may not have been a great one for you. And as you're looking forward to Christmas, you're not really excited about it, you know. But can I tell you something this morning? This will not be your last Christmas. This will not be your last Thanksgiving. Perhaps you've had great Thanksgiving before, and this one was just, ugh, you know, nothing really. It will not be the last one for you. Amen. You have something better to look forward to. Amen. You know, and I say, remember his past goodness. If this one was not good, at least there was one that was good before. Amen. Just sit down and just remember. I remember, 2007 Thanksgiving, it was awesome. Remember that and rejoice. Remember that and rejoice. And thank God. Appreciate God for those ones that he did, and it was awesome. Appreciate him for those. Yes, you know, this one was kind of messed up. I know. It was. Yeah, I can feel you. You know, but it's not the last one you're going to have. And it means that your better days are ahead of you. You know, the rest of your life will be the best of your life. In the name of Jesus. God has a bigger and a better plan for our lives. You know, I'm always excited about the future because I know he lives. And like the songwriter says, he said, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. I can face tomorrow. Psalm 103 from verse 4. Verse 2 says, forget not his benefits, right? Let's start from verse 2. Psalm 103 from verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And he begins to list them. Verse 3. He said, who forgives all thine iniquities? Who heals all thy diseases? Listen to me. Listen to me. You know, if I think about the iniquities of before I gave my life to Christ, and God is still allowing me to stand before you and tell you anything, this God must be a good God. Amen? If I even remember my iniquities, even after I had given my life to him, and he still allows me to breathe and speak to anybody about him, I must bless his name. I must bless his name. He forgives all our iniquities. You know, many of us, I love church on Sunday. Everybody's looking pretty. Everybody's looking holy. Everybody's looking like nothing did there. You know, I'm just good. I'm just good. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all. How I wish we saw you on Tuesday when you were going off on that guy or that girl. When you were really blowing fire from your nostrils and everybody is wondering, is this the guy they said goes to church? But look at you today. We still see you and we call you brother. Oh, brother, such and such. Sister, such and such. God should have removed the title of brother from your name. It should have taken, he said, you don't deserve sister anything anymore. Let it be taken away. But he has forgiven all our iniquities. He has forgiven all of our iniquities. I told you the story before. You know, there was a day, this was many years ago, I was leading prayer, and this was back in Nigeria. I was leading prayer, and we got to church, and God said to me, no shouting today. He said, no shouting. He said, he gave me specific instructions on how to lead prayer. So I led prayer the way God instructed me. You know, it was not no shouting, no shouting. And at the end of prayer that day, a young lady came and met me. I said, Pastor, thank you very much. I said, yeah, thank God. You know, so what's up? You know, she just left her boyfriend. So she left the bed of fornication and came to church to shakalaka, shakalaka, shakalaka. If we were shouting, she would have been there shouting and shouting with everybody. But the Holy Spirit was just convicting her. Every word that was said was like a dagger to her soul, convicting her. And she repented. The fact that she can talk about it shows her repentance. Many people cannot talk about their situation because they are not repentant yet. In fact, they are not ready to give up the sin. Amen? Can you imagine? Came to church. God did not strike her dead. Amen? He says, he forgives our iniquities. If men were God, there will be no human beings left. There will be no human beings left. So before you start thinking about all those things that are not working, how about you think about the ones that are working? Because if God should mark iniquity, you cannot stand. No man can stand. So if he has forgiven your sins, number one is a clear reason for you not to go back to that sin. Because the God that, can you imagine, IRS knows you are stealing money from them. You are not paying taxes. And they are not arresting you. And you are not afraid. They are not writing you to make reparations. And you think, oh, they are forgotten. That's not a good laughter. The laughter I just laughed is not a good one. Because all they are doing is they are packing the money on the side and they are putting interest on top of it. So if a God that knows all things and can do all things, and you are sinning boldly in his very face, and is watching you, and is not dealing with you, you should be afraid. Say, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Number one benefit, he forgives all our sins. Number two, he heals our diseases. How many people have ever received healing? You were sick and you were healed. And that's everybody. Hallelujah. Verse 4. I'm just going to run through this. Verse 4. Who redeems thy life from destruction? I have a lot of stories to tell you on this one. Because the enemy has tried. The enemy has tried. I was telling my daughters the other day, you know, I was in high school. I still remember like yesterday. I was in high school, you know, and, well, my mom is here. That's okay. That was many years ago. You know, I had a plan. All the plan was made. Arrangement was made to go for a party that night. You know, I was going to sneak out and everything. But I had malaria, you know. So I was just praying that, that I will be healed before the Friday, you know. So by Friday afternoon, I was feeling good for the party. Not in my body, for the party. You know, so they made food for me. I was eating, and something strange happened. You know, I was eating my favorite, you know, swallow. So I rubbed the thing, I put it there. As I tried to put it in my mouth, my head will go back. I said, no. I'm imagining it in my head. So I said, my head is dodging food. So I just take it and hit it in the back, you know. So I stopped. I said, okay, let me see what will happen if I'm not putting food there. Maybe it's running from the food. So I stopped, and after a while, I adjusted myself, and then this time it was going like this, to the side. That was when I screamed. I said, there's problemo. There's fire on the mountain. You know, the doctors know. The doctors are laughing that, only God saved this our pastor. Tetanus. It was tetanus. The enemy was trying to break my neck. You know, he was turning it, you know. So my daughter said, so daddy, what would have happened if it turned around? I said, if it turned around, my neck would have snapped. I wouldn't be your father. God will still release you into the world. It's just that you have a different father. Man, my head was well. I said, what? So I lost 2 days of my life because they sedated me. It's good that you asked that question. When I woke up on the third day, as soon as I woke up, the first thought in my head is still my party. I'm looking at the time, 4 o'clock. I still have time. Then I looked around. I was in the hospital. It was 2 days after the party when I woke up. Who heals all thy diseases and delivers you from destruction? The enemy was set to destroy my life. You know, there was another time I was in a city called Kano. The northern part of Nigeria is mostly Muslims. So all this Boko Haram thing that you're hearing about, the terrorism and everything, it's been with us a while. You know, so they had one of those riots and all of those things, you know. Anyway, I got caught in the middle of it, you know. And they were chasing after me. And as they are chasing after me, guess what? I was screaming Jesus. Because I didn't have any other name. I didn't know any other name. As I was screaming Jesus, it was infuriating them more. They were chasing me with dagger, with cutlass, machete, and everything. But God saw me through. God has seen you through terrible things. That is why you ought to bless him. That is why you ought to praise him. It does not matter where you are right now. Can you think of where you have been and what he did for you where you were? How did you get to where you are today? It's because of him, because of his mercy, because of his goodness, because of his faithfulness. Why don't you rise to your feet this morning, lift up both hands to heaven, and just say, Lord, I bless your name. Lord, I glorify your name. Lord, I magnify your name. It does not matter what the enemy will throw at me. It does not matter what is going on in my life right now. It does not matter what the enemy is doing currently. I know I have a better hope. I have a better future. I have a great future. And the Lord that did it before is able to do it again. If he did it before, he will do it again. Why? Because he is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. In the name of Jesus, give him glory this morning. Magnify his name. Exalt his name. In the name of Jesus, your better days are ahead of you. In the name of Jesus, God gave his son. They called him Jesus. He gave him to come. He was born. The angels came celebrating and glorifying his name. Why don't you glorify him this morning? Why don't you exalt him this morning? Thanksgiving is not about turkey. Neither is Christmas about gift exchange. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Why don't you magnify him this morning? He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He's the I am that I am. He's the one who was. He's the one who is. He's the one that will be forevermore. He will deliver you. He will keep you. He will uphold you in the name of Jesus. Every ordinance, he has taken them out of the way. He has nailed them to the cross so that you can fulfill your destiny, so that you can become all that he has created you to become. In the mighty name of Jesus, glory be to your name. In the name of Jesus, Jehovah, we thank you. Jehovah, we praise you. We worship, we adore you. Lord, you have been good to us. You have been faithful. You alone are God. Besides you, there is none else. We appreciate you, Daddy. We love you. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We appreciate you, Lord. Take all the glory. Take all the honor. Take all the adoration. You are the one that has brought us to where we are. We did not get here by our power nor by might, but all by you. And we are grateful. Thank you, Lord Jesus. For in Jesus' mighty name, I have prayed. Amen. Amen.
We hope you've been blessed by this message. We encourage you to fellowship with us here at Salvation Center if you are in the San Antonio area. For more information, visit our website at www.rccgsanantonio.org.